What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company, from America for America.
And welcome in to Cody and Gold. Cody and Gold still out on wedding. Well, I guess wedding was yesterday. They were at a wedding, but they were out in California. Logan Weber in here with me now, who fighting Kansas City traffic. All day, did all day yesterday, worked the night, worked all the plant time, but he's been fighting traffic.
I-70 is going to be the death of me.
Yeah, it sucks.
It is awful, especially when they decide to close all but one lane of traffic on I-70 at 8 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, it's not smart.
Why are we doing construction during rush hour?
I don't know. Ask Drew. Drew Nixon, producer. Why are they doing construction during rush hour in Kansas City, Drew? Does Drew even know? Drew didn't have his headset on.
Nah.
This is a Bengals fan for you.
This man's getting...
They're not prepared.
Hey.
They're slow at what they're doing.
In his defense, I got here 25 minutes ago. He was at least here before I was. But, yeah, I need somebody from... I don't know if it's MoDOT or whoever. Like, somebody explain to me. Listen, the city needs construction projects. They do. I mean, there's got to be some things done with some of these.
It's not all at the same time.
Some of these potholes on I-70 and I-35 are outrageous. I feel like my car, my driver's side tires are going to come completely off my vehicle if you hit one. But man, do we have to do it at 8, 9 o'clock in the morning when a million people are trying to drive in and out of the city? Is that really the most ideal time to be getting these things done?
They had some stuff out on 435 too, out near the Legends area and stuff like that. They were doing that at night. We're shut down the one lane. Drew probably had to deal with some of that.
Yeah, it's not. There was a ramp that they had shut off, the main ramp. So it was just an extra exit you had to take. It wasn't the worst thing. It's nothing like this. Certainly.
Literally, it's two lanes between like Oak Grove and Blue Spring.
I-70 is tough.
Yeah. Once you get closer to the city, like the Independence side. And so it opens up to three lanes, but they have got construction now. So the far two left side lanes are closed for several miles as you get down into the city. And then you get, get into that I-70, I-35 interchange downtown, and then it becomes even more chaotic with the traffic. It's just the worst. And I'm not arguing that something needs to be done, but man.
It's not all at the same time.
Like down in, no, somebody just asked how far am I driving. I drive from Grain Valley. That's where my wife and I lived. I don't live in Oak Grove, but that's kind of from like Oak Grove up through Blue Springs. It's only two lanes, and then it opens up to
it's
three
tough
once you get closer
drive,
to Independence.
Man.
It's no not
question about it. It's a tough stretch.
Well, and I was driving I-35 before that to get to work.
And
I just
come from the Northland, so it's kind of a nice
driving
little...
from the north side of the city. Now I come from the south side of the city, so it's 70 versus I-35. But God.
Logan, here's the thing about potholes, and Drew, the thing about potholes in this town, we need another championship, because when you win a championship, World Series or Super Bowl, they don't care. Like the city only sends out surveys and stuff about potholes. When they win a championship, they don't care. It's when you don't win, people start caring about potholes.
Okay, I thought you were saying that KC's like the Super Bowl, is winning the Super Bowl of potholes in this.
No, there's a lot of them, but people don't care as much when you win.
Well, yeah, but
now it's a pain in the ass. Get a new tire, get your tire fixed, and everything else with potholes.
Somebody said it was they think it might correlate with the World Cup coming to Kansas City in 2026. They're trying to make a lot of infrastructure construction, you know, roadway and other improvements as they get set to bring people from across planet Earth to come to Kansas City to watch European football.
Fortunately, America's
on the pitch.
Fortunately, that's right, Bink. Fortunately, America's got the proper infrastructure already in place where there's not many things that have to be built for the World Cup. Because that's where these countries get in trouble, is all the infrastructure they have to build and stadiums
like Olympics
that are just never. Yeah, it's hosting a World Cup or hosting an Olympics is actually, for a lot of countries, is a significant money loser.
Did you see Los Angeles when they had the Olympics?
Mm-hmm.
For the opening ceremonies, two places. They're going to use the Coliseum in SoFi.
As they should. They should use the Coliseum.
But they're using 100%. Both of them at the same time. It's an interesting thing. They're 9 miles apart. Like, they're not, like, right next to each other. 9 miles apart. So it'll be interesting how they configure that.
They should have had it at the Rose Bowl, Bink, instead of SoFi. They should have had it at the Coliseum and then so the torch can get lit and then the Rose Bowl.
I don't know, man, but I'd love when the Olympics are here. I mean, that is a bucket list thing to do, man.
Yeah, I'd like to get to win at some point.
I love Winter Olympics, too. I mean, it was awesome out in Utah. I know Drew loves Utah, but it was cool when they did it out there.
Look, I don't mind the state of Utah.
You hate the Mammoth?
I like the Mammoth.
It's Utah's new hockey team, by the way. They were the Utah Hockey Club last year.
He just gives them flack
I'm
because
glad they get an actual name.
Utah has, like, Salt Lake City, and then nobody really knows what happens in the other places in Utah. But the same could be said for Missouri. It's like Kansas City, St. Louis.
Well,
I mean, I lived in Springfield for 4 years. I had no idea how big Springfield was until my wife started going to school down there. And you look it up, and it's 250,000 people. It's the third biggest city in the state. Most people, even people who live in Missouri, think Kansas City, St. Louis, everything else is just a wash. They call us flyover country for a reason, I guess.
And the one thing, too, about it is with these teams, it's like find a name representative of your area. Even if the team's moving, like Utah Jazz, I know they've been at other places, New Orleans, but they kept the name. Like, you got to change the name when you go there because there's no Jazz when you think about the state of Utah.
Right. Well, yeah, and I don't really understand how Mammoth factors in with the state of
Utah. Maybe prehistoric that Mammoth were indigenous in those parts. I have no idea.
They can't be the Utah Church of Latter-day Saints either. That doesn't really roll off the tongue that well.
I think it's a hockey thing. It's cold weather up there. It just fits, you know, to have a...
And maybe there were Mammoth there at one point.
Cold animal.
Who knows if Mammoth roamed
I mean, they also
Utah.
Had... It was the Utah Yeti, I think, was another name that they were considering. So it was...
Like the Yeti coolers?
Yeah.
Did you see that cooler thing I sent you, Drew?
Oh, yeah. We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about that on Trash of the Day.
Absolutely. Very interesting. How about the Royals, man?
White hot.
Once again, spanked around the White Sox. They suck. And this is great for the Royals. You got to take care of bad teams. And you keep them down. That's what they did. They kicked around the White Sox. And it was a struggle. The first couple games, it was a struggle. And it took the White Sox to have a comical meltdown in the ninth inning to win one. But yesterday was a no-doubter. You got a position player throwing at the end of the game. But that was a feel-good game. What, 17 hits for the Royals?
It was unbelievable. I talked about this last night on After Hours. I will never understand the implication from people. It's like, oh, yeah, you won. You know, you beat a team 4 games in a row, but they're a bad baseball team. Okay, what's the alternative? Losing to a bad baseball team?
If you lose 4 times, then people have questions.
They're on the schedule. You beat the team that's on the schedule. That's what the Royals did. Exactly.
These
are professional ball players.
As much as they don't look like one, they are professional.
Exactly. There's only 30 Major League Baseball teams. There's 26 to 28 guys that are competing on a Major League Baseball team consistently throughout a year.
And they got the Pope that's a fan of theirs.
Exactly.
Like, that scared me when that happened.
Don't worry.
What's going on with the White Sox now?
Don't worry, everybody. I did make an apology on behalf of Kansas City for all those that wanted to be spoken for. I did apologize to the new Pope for what the Royals just did to his beloved Chicago White Sox. So hopefully that saves us from damnation, at least for a little while. We'll see. But my goodness, what a beatdown yesterday. 17 hits for the Yalls. It was a phenomenal game. Here's my favorite part. My favorite stat of this game. 9 guys in the order for the Royals yesterday. Bink, Drew. 8 of them had at least one hit. Freddie Fermin had one hit. 7 Royals had multi-hit games. care, anybody, does anybody care to take a guess as to who was the one guy in the starting lineup for the Kansas City Royals yesterday who did not register a hit?
I'll guess. You tell me if I'm warmer or cold, right? Hunter Renfro.
You nailed it.
Hey!
Hunter Renfro, the only guy to go hitless. The only guy to go hitless yesterday for the Kansas City Royals. 0-for-4. He struck out once. He's now batting a robust 152 now on the season. But, I mean, Jonathan India had two knocks. Bobby Witt with a four-hit game yesterday. He drove in two. Salvi had two hits. Vinny had two hits.
Vinny's coming on, man.
Vinny's now hitting 216 on the year. Michael Massey is now above the Mendoza line. He's hitting 206.
That's their norm up. Starting to warp outside, right? That's their warming up.
Mikel Garcia is hitting 326.
And how about Bubich?
Chris Bubich.
He's a plus 5,000 guy to win the Cy Young.
He is unbelievable. Seven
or plus
innings
yeah.
of scoreless work yesterday.
His odds are higher than Seth Lugo,
yeah.
by the way.
Yeah.
Lugo's like plus 8,500. By the way, that's the season tie six-game winning streak for the Royals. They won 9 of the last 10 in a major league best, 15-2 since April 20th. They did a six-game losing streak, but turned it around because when you're under 500 – one of the gifts of Major League Baseball is that Colorado Rockies team. You take care of business against them, then you take care of business against the White Sox. That's seven games, man.
Yeah.
That is a huge swing in the standings, seven games you're beating those teams. They all do it. I mean, a lot of the good teams, they'll beat the bad teams. They'll lose to some of the good teams. You just do it. But if you start to lose those teams, you don't want to do it because that'll make a difference. And again, the Royals made the postseason last year and the Tigers by one game over the Seattle Mariners. One game. So the White Sox definitely helped out those 12 wins against them last year.
The sentiment stands. If you've got a bad baseball team or a bad basketball team or a bad football team on your schedule, beat them. I mean, you can't control if they're on your schedule or not. They're in your division. You're going to play them 12, 13, 15 times a year. I don't know what the exact number is that they play interdivision teams now, but they're going to be on your schedule regardless.
They're 16-1 against the White Sox since last year. 16-1.
If your options are to lose to a terrible baseball team or beat a terrible baseball team, that kind of answers the question for you. And then if people want to be like, oh, well, yeah, no, the Royals are this and that and the other, it's because they had the Rockies and the White Sox on their schedule. Sure.
So be it. Everybody's got it. Everybody plays in Major League Baseball.
The Rays?
Now, they may not 13 times like the Royals in this division, but
the Rays aren't off to the worst start in the world this season. Royals did a great job taking care of business against them. They took care of business 2 out of 3 games against the Baltimore Orioles team that made the playoffs last year. They took 2 out of 3 in a series against the Houston Astros, who also made the postseason last year. You beat two playoff teams, a team that's above 500, and then you beat down two of the worst teams in baseball in the Colorado Rockies and the Chicago White Sox.
Because, again,
it's a fairly balanced schedule.
If you look back 10 years ago, the Royals 15 team, look who they beat. No, you don't care. You care about a world title. You care about the banner. You care about the W's. It doesn't matter how bad a certain team was. And we look back at this a certain day. You don't care. You know, the White Sox, because they historically have had some good teams. No question about it. But this weekend, it changes. 20-19, not great. Red Sox aren't a great team, but you get the Red Sox for 3.
Well, it's the same thing as the Chiefs barely scraping by the Carolina Panthers earlier. They beat a team that was not very good. That's what they're supposed to do.
Yeah, and then all of a sudden, I mean, Carolina started playing good football. Remember, Bryce Young kind of turned things around. And they're like, well, yeah, that win kind of looks better now.
Mm-hmm. No question about it. I mean, man, this Royals team, the pitching is stout at the moment. Now, that's well documented at this point.
They're on pace to have the best rotation in team history in terms of ERA.
Yeah. Let's correct the text line here. The Jay Southland Tow Service text line, 913-586-7965, because there was some confusion. It says, I thought the Pope was a Cubs fan. What they were saying on radio last night, he's from the South Side, but a Cubs fan. No, that's not true. His brother came out and said, no, he's a Sox fan. I think he even said he's a Sox fan. So it came out first, and the Cubs put on their banner that he's a marquee, on the marquee that he's a Cubs fan.
Yeah.
The White Sox quickly dispelled that, saying, oh, no, this is a Sox fan.
I saw a clip from a television interview a few years ago in which he confirmed via television that he was a White Sox fan. In the article, in the news story.
That's honesty.
Yeah, in the news story, he said that his mom was a Cubs fan.
Yeah.
Like, listen to this family dynamic with Major League Baseball. Mom, Cubs fan. He said his dad was a Cardinals fan and he's a White Sox fan. How that family can agree on anything is beyond
me. Cardinals are real taboo in Chicago.
100%.
They just don't like the Cardinals. It's like being a Raiders fan in Kansas City, like Kramer.
Yeah. It's not a good look.
But you got to pick. I guess if you live in a city where there's multiple teams, you have to make that choice. People in New York do it all the time. Yeah. Either you're a Yankees fan
or LA
or a Mets fan. You're not usually a fan of both. You have to decide which fan you're of. And it seems like a lot of the Jets fans are Mets fans. And a lot of the Yankees fans are Giants fans.
Yeah.
But you got to pick your hockey team. You got to pick whoever. Who, if you lived in New York, Drew, who would be your teams? Because there's actually only one team that actually plays in the state of New York.
I mean, if I lived in New York, I would say it would probably be Knicks. Knicks, Rangers, because I love the name Shesterkin. I think it's great.
Original Six.
And then probably Giants.
I actually was a Giants fan for about 8 years.
And the baseball would probably be Yankees.
I had a cousin who played for the New York Giants.
If you're a Knicks,
I always like Lawrence Taylor.
If you're a Knicks fan, I feel like you have to be a Yankees fan. I think it's Knicks, Yankees.
Yeah, if you're a fan of such a massive brand, like one or the other, it kind of makes sense to just pack.
What about Chicago?
Together.
If you live in Chicago, would you be a Cubs or a Sox fan?
Cubs.
Yeah, I'd be a Cubs fan. Maybe that's just because I've rooted against.
Everybody's a Cubs fan, though. You want to be the outlier. I'll be a Sox fan. You know what I'm saying?
No thanks.
I've been to Wrigley Field before they put up the big screen and everything. Best ballpark I've ever been to, just in terms. And look, the K is great, but in terms of like the vintage feel,
I've been
like
the Guaranteed Rate.
A day game at Wrigley Field, you cannot go. There's something about a day game at Wrigley Field that's special.
Mm. Yeah, I've only been to a couple of major league ballparks. I've been inside the Texas Rangers ballpark, not during a game or anything.
The new one,
yes, in Arlington.
I think it looks awesome.
I've been there. I've seen it. It's nice. Of course, I've been to Kauffman, and I've been to Busch Stadium in St. Louis. Again, I don't know how popular this is going to make me in Kansas City. I prefer going to a game at Busch Stadium versus Kauffman. I love Busch Stadium. I love the look of the downtown ballpark. Logistically, it's a nightmare. You can't park within a mile of the stadium if you're trying to go to a Cardinals game. It sucks downtown in St. Louis trying to find somewhere to put your car, but it's a beautiful ballpark.
I think that's why, and to that point, Logan, people want a downtown stadium. Is you want that aesthetic of whether it be the background. You just want it feels better being downtown in some way, shape, or form. Where I get why Busch Stadium would be appealing, more appealing in terms of the experience. Then going to the K, and look, again, the K is great. It's a gorgeous stadium and everything, and like that, it's got obviously a lot of history and everything. But being downtown with baseball, there's just something about it that makes it feel a little bit more special.
Yeah, I know this isn't about where the stadium should be topic, but going downtown, I always look at this, guys. It's great for tourists.
Yeah,
like if you're just traveling, and you're staying downtown St. Louis, whatever, you can walk to the game. It's different. I once went to the Metrodome back when the Vikings, because I wanted to see Barry Sanders play. They were playing the Lions, so I was like, it's a good chance to go see Barry play. So I went to Minnesota for that. It was downtown. It took forever to get in and out of the state. It sucked. So that draw for being a tourist and going to a game, but if you went all the time, that's the drawback, man. That's one thing I've really always liked about Kauffman. It's easy to get into and easy to leave. You know what I'm saying? But I understand the draw of downtown. If you're a tourist and don't have to screw with things.
Yeah, but I think it helps you. You feel like you're a part of something more than just the game. Where like you get done, let's say the K's downtown in Kansas City. You get done. It's a 5-minute walk to Power and Light. After the game's done,
you can go to Denny's.
See, that's Taco Bell. That's always been, in my view, the biggest problem with the sports complex is there's nothing there. There's nothing down there, right? It's a Denny's that. I believe that Denny's burnt down a few years ago.
It was a classic, though.
There's a Taco Bell over there.
It's still there.
And, like, one random gas station. There's nothing else anywhere near that place, which is fine when the only traffic you got to contend with is people getting in and out of the stadium. But if you want to do something before the game, like, yeah, okay, with the Chiefs and Arrowhead, you're going to tailgate before the game. You don't really have to go. But with a Royals game or things like, it would be nice to have shops and restaurants and things that you can walk down. And that's what I like. Lucas Oil Stadium, downtown Indianapolis. I went there a few years ago for the Big Ten championship game, Iowa, Michigan, and watched my Hawks get absolutely dog walked for 4 hours, but it was beautiful down there. I mean, restaurants, bars all over the place, different little shops that you could walk into and look for shirts and stuff to sort of commemorate the event and things like that. That's what I would like to see for the Chiefs, for the Royals, excuse me. You know what else I'd like to see? This is probably one that would never happen, but like in a perfect world, I love the San Francisco Giants setup with the Bay out there. Mm-hmm. Is there a spot where the Royals could potentially like build right next to the river or something? Just you hit one out of right field and it lands in the Missouri River.
Well, there's
or something.
Something about that Tennessee Neyland Stadium. You can get on a boat, take a boat to the game. Oh, yeah. I love these stadiums where you can take your boat to the game. I think that's pretty cool.
Yeah, I just wouldn't recommend anybody get in a kayak and like try to stick around in the bay to get a fly to get a home run ball. That probably wouldn't go over very well.
You know the thing that always amazes me is you have the corridor there, 435 and I-70. You have all this traffic. And yet nothing built up around it. Where you see, you know, areas like at Independence, you know, where the Mavericks play, there's restaurants and stuff.
Cable Dahmer.
It's like you build it, then will they come? I mean, it's like it took forever for development to hit the Northland once the airport was up there. I mean, it's up there for, you know, decades without anything basically being up there. I was just surprised that much traffic, you know, comes by that area. And you had like a Taco Bell and a Denny's for the longest time.
Real quick, before we jump to another topic that's kind of capturing headlines today.
Yes.
Somebody said tailgate before and after. With the game, that's a six-hour day. What more do you need? Baseball's just not a tailgating sport. Football is. Like, it makes sense. Arrowhead is in a great spot for
I think anything is true.
Yeah, but baseball, like, there are some people, don't get me wrong, who tailgate. I get it. And they enjoy it. And yes, tailgating is fun. But baseball traditionally is not a tailgating sport. I can go hang out downtown in Power and Light, go to a spot, and then walk across to the stadium and get there in time for first pitch. And then when I'm done, I can go back to Power and Light and hang out with other people. Like, it's not – there's more than just baseball. And I think that baseball, in the way that baseball is played –
What if you just want to go to the game and not do all the other stuff?
Then you just go to the game. I don't see a – there's not a – problem with just going to the game and then leaving. I mean, I went to Wrigley Field and I went to the game and then I left and it wasn't an issue. I'd walk a little bit after parking, but I'd walk maybe 10 minutes to my car. It's fine.
I always thought Green Bay would be kind of fun. All those houses and stuff, their Airbnbs during the game and everything. Just walk over to the game.
There you go. I like it.
Always take in that neighborhood. Basically, it is in Green Bay. Always nice. Speaking of the Royals, by the way, Sam McDowell put this out that covers for the Kansas City Star, covers everything, but he puts the Royals rotation as ERA of 2.93. Best in team history is 3.22. Can they keep it up? That was 1972 they did that. Can they keep that up or not? Again, the Chris Bubich is the world's. Michael Lorenz, as long as they're good, your rotation's solid. Those guys, like, have to be good because you know what you're going to get from Lugo and Waka and Cole Reagans. You know what you're going to get. But can it be sustainable? I think, like I said, I think the bats get better and continue.
And they have.
And they have.
Hitting up over 300 in May now.
But this rotation, I mean, we have two guys in the top four in the Cy Young. I mean, it's not going to fall apart. It's not going to go away. And this bullpen's great, too. I mean, everything right now with this pitching staff. But that's got to be the happiest thing. I know at times you want to see the bats wake up a little bit. They did, obviously, with 10 runs. Yesterday's with their sixth game now over four runs, sixth or seventh, something like that, over four runs. They're starting to accumulate more of those. But all the shutouts they're having. As I mentioned, the fourth American League team to have, you know, six shutouts within a 13-game span. Almost seven. Because that 2-1 game the other night, Royals and White Sox, that was almost seven shutouts within that span.
Got to stay healthy. That's the number one thing for this Royals team. If they can stay generally pretty healthy, I think they'll be in a good spot. Lugo and Waka are off to tremendous starts again this season. Lorenzen, I mean, his ERA is up over four right now. We'll see what happens, you know, tonight. But I think that's always going to be a concern with anybody, right? I mean, we've seen Salvi have the hamstring issue and things like that already this season. You know, can Vinny stay healthy for an entire 162-game schedule? Who else might we see randomly go down at some point this year? And again, I mentioned those three guys in the pitching rotation, Lugo, Waka, Lorenzen. All those guys are on the other side of 30. Lugo and Waka are in their mid to late 30s. All it takes is one random fluke injury, and you're having to reevaluate the entire starting pitching rotation. And I know you're going to get Kyle Wright back at some point.
He should be getting Cameron, what he's doing. He's phone call away.
He is, and he had a tremendous first start in Major League Baseball. Is that completely sustainable for him? If he was to call up and become a massive part of this team's plan moving forward, who knows? So I'm very confident, but I'm also wary of the fact that an injury or two can derail a team's plans over the course of 162 games.
Well, we'll talk some more Royals, who's coming up next. The voice of the Kansas City Royals, one of the voices. They have many voices there, but great voice, Jake Eisenberg. Awesome stuff. You guys have him on every week. You've been fortunate to be a part of one of these interviews with Jake. I've been on with a couple. Love talking to Jake Eisenberg. He joins.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Optimize your nutrition this year with Factor, America's number one ready-to-eat meal service. Factor's fresh, never-frozen meals are dietitian-approved, ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from 40 weekly options across 8 dietary preferences like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Eat smarter at factormeals.com/listen50 and use code LISTEN50 for 50% off plus free shipping on your first box. Factormeals.com/listen50, code LISTEN50.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This next. Welcome back to Coding Gold. Jay Binkley, Logan Weber, Drew Nixon producing the operation. Happy Mother's Day to all the mothers in Kansas City.
Absolutely. I can't. I'm looking forward to it. I get to say Happy Mother's Day to my mom. I'm actually, my wife and I are taking my mother-in-law to the Royals game on Sunday.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Perfect opportunity. Perfect opportunity to talk to the voice of the Kansas City Royals, one Jake Eisenberg, who we happen to be in here a lot. I've been here a couple times, and Logan the other time. What's up, Jake?
Hey, how you guys doing? Yeah, I don't know what's up with Cody and Gold. They seem to like skipping town whenever you guys get the chance to talk to me. I don't know if it's something I said or I don't know what's going on, but I'm glad I get to talk to you guys.
I'll tell you what, Jake, this team's been fun to watch and the role that they're on and taking advantage of the White Sox, and yesterday's game was just fun to watch. If you're sitting there watching that game, just so much fun. But Denny Matthews the other day said that he was talking to you during the break. And you had asked him, you know, where would you put that ninth inning with the Royals and White Sox as far as everything happening the Royals' way? And then he said in his top five moments, and I'm talking about the other night with the ball going off the head and those kind of things, the Royals come back and win that game. And that's interesting to me because Denny's been here since day one. Denny's seen a lot of baseball. Denny might have seen more baseball than any human being out there. I thought that answer by Denny was kind of telling. Have you ever seen anything like that ninth inning?
Well, no, and that's what I said to Denny, right after we went to break. I looked at him and I was like, I'll be honest, Denny, I don't think I've ever seen the ninth inning quite like that. And like that meaning, you know, a team that kind of basically hands you the game the way that the White Sox did. And, you know, it's up to the Royals to take advantage, and they did. But I had never seen anything quite like that. And so, of course, I turned to the Royals encyclopedia to my right that has seen just about every Royals game there is to have seen.
Yeah.
And I asked him, you know, where that, you know, ranked for him, what he'd seen, and he said that it was in his top five. And I think specifically he means top five, you know, off the top of his head of ninth innings where, a team has, you know, made some errors and the other team's taken advantage sort of thing. And I think it's telling. Anytime, you know, you have somebody next to you like that has seen everything, literally everything, multiple times, and they're telling you, yeah, this is a thing that is pretty rare and we just witnessed it and the Royals took advantage, I think that speaks volumes about, you know, the kind of game that we watched the other night. But again, you know, and we talked about this on the air yesterday. Yes, the White Sox are in the midst of a difficult season, and last year they set the American League record for losses in the year. They are still one of the 30 major league teams, which means they are on your schedule and they have a chance to beat you every time that you take the field. And so it's incumbent upon the Royals or whoever has the chance to play the White Sox. You could say the same thing about the Rockies, you know, who are off to a really tough start. You still have to go out there and win the game, and that is not always a guarantee. Anything can happen on any given day. That's why you play 162 of these. And so, yeah, the Royals took advantage last year, went 12-1 against the White Sox. This year, 4-0 against the White Sox. That's a good start. The Royals are taking care of the teams that they should be taking care of, and that is just as commendable as winning a game against a team that, you know, might have a better record than you. Because the truth is, and Logan and I, we talked about this last week, when you look up at the end of the season, your record doesn't say 74 wins against 28 teams and 12 against the White Sox.
No, it doesn't.
86 wins. That's all that matters.
Like 2015, we don't look back at it and say, well, this team was bad. This team was, they won a banner. They won the World Series. That's what matters. But I remember Denny always said, you know, something always interesting happens at the ballpark. And he's 100% right. Because when you're watching a game, no matter what, maybe it's a guy hitting 3 home runs or 4 home runs, you just never know what you're going to see. But, Jake, I'll start with this. Bubic yesterday and the way he's pitching, the way he's shooting up, you know, Cy Young odds and everything else. But the 1.69 ERA to this point, that guy has been a secret gem in this league.
Oh, yeah. I mean, and I'll be honest, it's a little early in my opinion for Cy Young odds or anything like that in terms of end-of-season awards. But I think if you look at his performance to begin the season, a 1.69 ERA through his first 8 starts, you know, that's top 5 in the American League, top 10 in all of baseball. We are seeing what we hoped we might see when Chris Bubic, you know, had a resurgent start to the 2023 season. And there was a start in San Francisco where I think it was 6 shutout innings. He punched out 9. It was like, oh, okay, this is a different Chris Bubic. And then he had Tommy John, and then he came back, and out of the bullpen, he was nails. And we are seeing just an outstanding arsenal and a great use of it, too. The fastball plays really well at the top of the zone. The changeup has gotten a ton of swing and miss. The 2 different sliders that he throws, he mixes them so well. He uses those pitches so well. He pitches to contact well. 3 ground ball double plays to end innings yesterday. He has been just an outstanding pitcher. He is not just throwing like you see some guys do. Denny talks about that too. He is pitching, and it's been really fun to watch.
Talking about Chris Bubic, Jake, going into the offseason, with the Brady Singer trade, bringing Jonathan India over from Cincinnati, I felt like the majority of Royals fans, at least those that, you know, were vocal, kind of expressed some excitement with that. You bring in a guy like India who gets on base, he's going to be your proverbial leadoff hitter. But there was concern about, okay, what does this pitching rotation look like now that you've gotten rid of a guy like Brady Singer, who was a solid number 3, number 4 in this rotation? Do you think that the trade with Brady Singer played into some of what was going on with Chris Bubic, that this organization, J.J. Piccolo and Matt Quatrero, believed that Chris Bubic could be this type of pitcher at the back half of this rotation?
Maybe. I think that's a hard question to answer. I think that, yeah, believing in Chris Bubic's ability to be a strong member of the starting rotation, absolutely is part of the factor. I mean, there are so many factors that get considered. But I think the first and foremost factor was that, you know, as much as the Royals loved having Brady Singer, and he's off to a solid start in Cincinnati, they knew that acquiring Jonathan India to be atop the lineup was a press need. And I think that initially re-signing Michael Wacha was a big part of making sure that the starting rotation still had the depth that they were looking for. And that gave them a little bit more comfort in making that move. And then re-signing Michael Lorenzen to slot into the rotation. And lest we forget, but, you know, the expectation was that Chris Bubic was going to compete for that starting job. Daniel Lynch IV competed for the rotation in spring training. Alec Marsh made 25 starts last year, and he's been behind with a shoulder injury. But, you know, he's a guy that the Royals were thinking about in terms of depth. Same with Kyle Wright. Same with Noah Cameron, who we saw make his debut. So there is a good amount of starting pitching depth that the Royals have right now. And as it's turned out, the front 5 for the Royals have been fantastic. It's the second lowest rotation ERA in baseball this year.
And how about Vinny in the way that Vinny is seeing the ball at the plate. I mean, it's been unbelievable. You look at his last 36 plate appearances, he's hitting .343, two home runs, five ribs, 12 hits in that span. It's an eight-game span that he's had, but still 12 hits in those eight games. Vinny is looking great for this team.
Yeah, must be the mustache, right, guys?
I love the mustache.
Maybe I should grow a mustache. No, he shaved the mustache during the rain delay in Baltimore, and then came out and it seemingly caught fire since then. Correlation is not causation, but no, it seems just from the eye test, it seems like the timing is back. This is something that we were talking about on the air yesterday. There was a single that he had down the right field line, and I think a few weeks ago that's a batted ball that maybe winds up foul on the first base side or pulled into the netting because he was a little bit early with his timing. So we're seeing the timing come back in a way that you expected it to come back. And this is something that, we've talked about, for the last couple of weeks now, is what was more likely to continue: the Royals bats struggling at times up and down the lineup, or the pitching continuing to be really consistent? And the answer was always, yeah, the pitching's going to stay consistent and the bats are going to come around. The first couple of weeks of April, Jonathan India, Vinny Pasquantino, Salvador Perez, the performance that they had at the beginning of April, that's not the performance they were going to wind up with at the end of the season. And I think we're starting to see every piece of the team come together, and it's yielded some pretty incredible results. 15-17 doesn't happen by accident.
I mean, we're talking about the way that this team has shifted. They're hitting up over 300 as a club now in May. And I know that this is a hard question, but I feel like it has to be asked to some extent. Only guy in the order last night who doesn't register a hit is Hunter Renfroe. He's now batting .152. Has there been any indication of an approach change for him at the plate, or maybe an approach change from the Royals entirely about how they handle that right field position moving forward?
Well, we have seen he hasn't been in the starting lineup as consistently as he had been, during the course of last season. The thing that gives me optimism with Hunter Renfroe is that he has been a slow starter pretty much his entire career. If you go look at his month-by-month splits over the course of his career OPS in March and April is somewhere around 650, 610. I'm not remembering the exact number, but if you go look at his career OPS in the month of May, it jumps to 870. There is a track record of Hunter Renfroe being a slow starter and then picking it up as the calendar flips. And it's still very early on in May, and there have been some better batted ball results, even if there haven't been as many hits in the month of May. I still think it's only one hit this month. But I do think that there is some optimism in a veteran player that has a track record of when the calendar flips. And I think, you kind of wait and see what happens while you mix and match around him.
I know that a lot of what we're seeing from Freddie Fermin right now being behind the plate is because of the hamstring injury with Salvi, and they're trying to kind of be cautious with him and letting him DH. But once Salvi does come back fully healthy and is able to catch, is there still a chance that we will see Freddie Fermin in this lineup consistently day after day with the way he's hitting right now up over .260?
Oh, sure. I think we saw it last year. Freddie played 100 games last year and hit .271. 100 games is basically more than two-thirds of the whole season. I think it's a hip injury for Salvi's day-to-day with some hip soreness. I think that, once Salvi is able to, go back behind the plate and catch, it allows the Royals to do what they were doing at the beginning of the season, which is mix and match Salvi and Freddie behind the plate, with Salvi seeing most of the time behind there, but he's also going to play some first. He's also going to DH. Same goes with Vinny Pasquantino. And we'll see how the rest of the roster gets constructed. On the unfortunate side of things, once Salvi is able to catch, and, that could be soon, that could be, by the time the next road trip, you probably see some roster moves. Not sure that the Royals are going to continue to carry three catchers on the roster once Salvi is fully healthy. And so you might see a Tyler Tolbert come back up, or if Dairon Blanco is healthy with his rehab assignment at that point, maybe he comes back up and gives Mac Cutrero that speed option off the bench that we know that he's liked over the last few years. So yeah, once Salvi is fully healthy and able to catch consistently, once again, you're still going to see a good amount of Freddie for me.
And as far as this division, I always look at the divisions. Like last year when the Chiefs, when they're ninth straight, you're like, okay, there's actually three teams from that division make the postseason. And last year, there's only two divisions in all of baseball that had three teams represent the playoffs: the American League Central, where the Royals reside, and the National League East. And this year, you look at these records in the American League Central. Yes, the Yankees sitting there with 21 wins, but there are three teams in the AL Central with more wins. Cleveland, Kansas City, and Detroit. Seattle sitting there with 22 wins, but still, the American League Central is where the best records reside in the American League. This division, I think, is here for the long haul. It was good last year. It's good this year. The Twins are on a 5-game winning streak. They've turned things around for how they were playing, but this division is no joke.
Yeah, put some respect on the AL Central.
That's right. You got to, because the AL Central, these teams, they're playing good baseball. Detroit, you know, continues to be good. They're building things. Kansas City's right there in the mix. And if Minnesota could play well, yeah, there's Chicago. We've talked about that. But the rest of the division is tough. Week in and week out, and the Royals have to play these teams 13 times.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and yes, the four teams in the Central have, to this point, beaten up on the White Sox a little bit. The White Sox, I think, are 2-15 inside the American League Central. But still, you have to beat the teams that are in front of you. And it just means that, look, even though the Royals have won 15 out of 17, they have made up some ground that they lost at the beginning of April, but it's not as if they've launched into first place and have taken a 6-game lead in the division, which tells you the importance of every single day and every single win. You never know when the wins are going to come that are the ones that are going to make the difference. And this is something that we talked about on the air a couple of nights ago. And, you know, I'll kind of say it again. You know, last year, the Royals made the playoffs by one game, and we all kind of thought back to that game against the Mariners where the Royals came back from down 9. It was like, oh, that's the game the Royals probably should have lost, but won, and sure enough, that game might be the difference. Or it's MJ Melendez's pinch hit 3-run homer against the Tigers, the team that you wind up tying within the standings. Or maybe it's Adam Frazier's home run in Anaheim last year. You never know where that game's going to be, but you circle a few along the way of like, you know, that's probably one that we should have lost or probably could have lost, but ultimately didn't for one reason or another. And that's the case of the game on Tuesday, coming back in the bottom of the ninth inning. That's a game that the Royals probably should have lost, but because they took advantage of the White Sox mistakes and miscues, the Royals came back and won. And we could be looking up toward the end of September, you know, where wins and losses are magnified, even though they all count the same and everyone's jockeying for position in the standings. We may be thinking back and saying, that one game, man, how big was that?
Yeah, that's why everybody says those April games don't matter and stuff like that. Well, actually, they do, because when you look at the standings at the end of the year, that extra W or L do matter in the standings. Jake Eisenberg, play-by-play for the Kansas City Royals. Thanks a million, Jake.
Of course, anytime, guys.
There you go. He's right, man, because a lot of times you'll hear that up taunt in baseball. You know, you can say that with streaks. Like, if you have a bad hitting streak in April, it's magnified. You in the middle of July, nobody cares. And you hear, well, who cares? It's early season baseball. And I always said, yeah, but that does matter. Just like Jake talking about that comeback against the Mariners last year, Detroit and Kansas City finished one game better than the Mariners last year. Those games do matter. I don't care if they're played in April. You can't wash those away. They all do matter. As much as you don't want to say a game in April matters, it does.
100%. If you hit 200 in April, you hit 300 in May, and you hit 300 in June, you're hitting 270. Right? I mean, you're still not a 300 hitter, despite the fact that you've hit better in two of the 3 months. A slow start can be an absolute just weight. It can be a boulder that you're trying to carry up the hill. And so the Royals, they had to face that. They had to face a slow start this year, 8-14, but they closed things out so well in the month of April, and they are rolling here in the month of May. Now we just have to see what happens now that they're doing their laundry and going from the White Sox to the Red Sox.
Well, those Tigers, Royals, Cleveland Royals games, man, they're going to be magnified. In Minnesota, they're hot and cold, man. It's what they are. They're capable of a 7-game winning streak. They're very capable of a 7-game losing streak.
Yep.
I mean, right now they happen to be on a 5-game winning streak, but they're not making any ground up because everybody in the American League
because everybody in the Central's playing well. Yeah, I mean, that's what we talked about earlier this week, right? We talked about, is the AL Central a 2-horse race?
Well,
is
Detroit it Tigers and Cleveland are 7-3 in the last 10? The Royals
is it
the
Tigers? Is it Tigers Royals? And it's like, well, the Guardians have won 7 of their last 10. The Twins have won 6 of their last 10. These guys are rolling. I mean, the whole division is rolling, except for the Chicago White Sox, who have lost 4 in a row.
Everybody likes Chicago White Sox in their division, man.
Gotta love it.
You gotta take advantage of those games, Logan. You just gotta take advantage.
The Cleveland Guardians are a fascinating case study right now. This team is 7 games. Cleveland is 7 games above 500. They have a minus 14 run differential. How are you 7 games above 500 with a minus 14 run differential?
Well, Drew's a big Sox fan.
I'm not a White Sox fan.
Meanwhile, you've got teams like the Houston Astros who have a plus 16 run differential, which is the same as the Royals,
yep.
And they are 500. I mean, The Cincinnati Reds have a plus 29 run differential, and they are a game below 500. Baseball is weird, man. It is a weird sport.
No, it is. And as Denny says, there's only something that happens at every single game you go to. It's 100% true. You never know. Oh, and by the way, Drew, the NFL schedule release. We're very excited about this on the 14th next week. Oh, I think we're. Are you excited, Drew? I'm excited.
Yeah, I mean, okay. I get excited for it, but I'm not. I don't think many people are at your level, Bink, in the first place anyways.
I think there's a lot of refreshing going on.
I think there's a lot of people who are excited because they want to see the schedule. But
Yeah, make their plans, which games they're going to go to, when they're going to go to road games. You know, all that matters.
I mean, one, I'm going to be traveling to go visit my brother and sister, so I'm not going to be focused on the NFL schedule. I'll see it when it comes out, and I'll look forward to it.
Oh, you still have your phone.
Well, I'll look at it when it comes out, but I'm not going to be fixated on oh my goodness, I'm not gonna look at okay, this is what I think the records are gonna be and everything like that. But you know, I think it's a good day, obviously.
Well, there's been
the NFL finds a way release. To keep refreshing itself.
There's been a release of the release. We now know the
like
dates.
A pre-release, you're saying.
Yeah, we know the release. NBC on Monday, May 12th. Keep in mind the release is actually the official release date's the 14th. So NBC on Monday, May 12th, obviously they give a bone to the partners. May 12th on the Today Show, they'll announce one game.
Oh, okay.
Fox, Monday, May 12th, Fox gets one too.
Okay.
They get to announce. Prime Video gets to announce on Monday, May 12th, one game. So
I
now
like
we're
it.
Doing this a couple days earlier than the 14th.
So the Prime one's going to be the Black Friday game probably, right? Fox will be Thanksgiving?
Probably so, and then the Prime Video will be their
So on
Netflix
the
will
opening
be
game.
Christmas Day? Netflix could be a Christmas Day announcement.
And then Netflix, does Netflix do...
ESPN's doing one again on Tuesday. They're doing theirs on Tuesday, May 13th. They'll do it on Good Morning America.
You said
CBS will do one on Wednesday, May 14th on the CBS Morning Show. I don't know how CBS didn't get to one early like everybody else, but they're not getting one. And Netflix on the 14th when they'll release.
The full schedule. So you said that Fox will release on the 12th? So we'll find out that the Chiefs are playing in Dallas on Thanksgiving on the 12th, then probably.
So.
That's what I'm curious about. Like of these five or six announcements that are coming out early, quote unquote, how many of them could involve the Kansas City Chiefs?
Oh, I would guess at least of the early ones, I would say at least one or two.
I would say two, maybe three.
And there's already been one quote leaked through X.
Well, like
the Jags has their opponent in London. They said the Rams on there. I mean, who knows if it's true, but it's part of the schedule release. Mm. It's fun.
Travis Hunter
piece together
in London?
He's wearing number 12, by the way. His number, they picked his number in Jacksonville.
All right.
But the schedule release, NBC and Fox get to do it on a 12.
All the Brits will be excited to see this guy, Travis Hunter.
And CBS has the weight.
Travis Hunter got an interception. That was a cracking pick, that. Yeah.
But, I give that accent like a 6 out of 10, 5
yeah,
and a half.
Yeah.
It's not the worst I've heard, but it's not the best.
No, I know. I definitely feel like I can deliver a British accent that is passable. In terms of elite, certainly not. Certainly not. Did you guys see this whole thing with Bill Belichick, by the way?
Oh.
This thing with Bill Belichick is it's a complete mess, and it only gets worse now, so much so where...
It's the gift that keeps on giving.
His girlfriend is now banned, according to Pablo Torre, is the one who kind of broke this news, that she's been banned from the UNC facility. It just seems like it's a disaster waiting to happen. She's sabotaging the entire operation. It's making Bill look bad, which people are concerned about, obviously, within the family.
Yeah, the
it's
CBS making, interview didn't do him any good.
That either. It's making North Carolina look bad now, where you're one of the I think Gary Patterson said one of the best things ever is that for a university... College football is the front porch of the house. The house is the university is the house, but college football is the front porch. And that is the image that everybody has of the university. North Carolina, you could say it's maybe basketball. Duke, you could say in certain programs, but still football is king. And with Bill Belichick there, all eyes are on that program this season. And it just keeps on coming up with things that are not related to football about the program, which is, as you can understand, I think problematic for the university and the administration.
This could be a problem for that organization. This could be a problem for North Carolina football, because when the coach and all these things, like how committed is he in this relationship? Obviously very committed, because she kind of dominated that interview. And I never thought anybody could dominate Bill Belichick. I'll be honest with you. I didn't. I didn't think he'd care, whatever, do whatever you want. I've won 6 Super Bowls. Go away. Like, I thought that was kind of going to be the way he is. He's the highest paid employee in the state of North Carolina, a public employee,
yeah,
being the head coach. So obviously people are going to talk and people are going to be concerned about that. But banning from the facility, I just wonder how this will go over Bill. Because in his mind, he is the end-all be-all. He's the king of that university right now when it comes to coaching. I just wonder how Bill, if true, will want to be told what his girlfriend can and can't go do. I'm just curious how this whole thing shakes out. It spells early retirement. Go to the NFL for Bill, to me.
I don't know how to attack this situation at all. It is so bizarre. It's so personal in a lot of respects, right? Like, these two people are in a relationship. They have their own things to worry about behind closed doors. But I just feel like there's a certain level of, like, you know, like, Drew, you and I are married, right? Both of us.
Yeah.
I don't think I would be okay with my wife, like, showing up in the studio and barking out orders. Right. I don't think I could do this. I don't think I could work in this business every day if I've got my wife hanging over my shoulder trying to micromanage everything I'm doing. My wife wouldn't be able to do her job if it was the other way around. That's kind of what this situation feels like. Like, hey, stay in your lane. Like, this football and being a football coach is the domain of Bill Belichick.
Because you start wondering how influential she is in the program. What decisions is she making?
You're a former cheerleader who sells real estate. Focus on real estate. If you want to be if you want to go be the cheerleading coach at North Carolina, you can do that. But you don't get to stand out on the field and placate what's going on here. You don't get to sit in on an interview.
I never
with
saw
CBS.
This coming. I never saw this coming. He seemed like such a strong dude. You would never think anybody would have any influence over Bill.
Someone said, she's not banned from anything. Bill runs it over there. If he wants his queen, she'll be there. It makes me
cringe. He might not have a choice.
Hold on. It makes me cringe that Bill Belichick's queen is. It just doesn't fit. You know.
No.
You can say his lady. That's fine. But his queen, relax.
He's 24 years old.
He's head over heels for.
I know. Evidently so, because
she went to go see Taylor Swift when she was in Europe, and Kelsey and Mahomes had to get her tickets.
I get why. Look, I'm not going to judge Bill Belichick for his decision making in regards to this relationship. Do I think it's odd? Yeah. Do I think it's a little bit weird? Yeah.
I respect that. Actually,
I look. Do you, Bill Belichick? But as soon as if I was North Carolina, I'm fine with all of the stuff that goes on. That's all private information. We don't need to be invested in that. But as soon as it's an interruption to what we do on a regular basis, whether it's practice, whether it's whatever we do, as soon as it interrupts that, it's a really big problem. And I think, you know, we were talking about this. I don't know if you mentioned it yet or not, Bink, but as soon as he starts losing football games, because I don't think the pressure is that on anyways. Like, Mac Brown did a fine job there, but North Carolina's always been.
But he got a lot of crap, though, Mac did towards the end.
Yeah, North Carolina's always been a 7-8-9 win team at its peak. You know, it's solid. I think that they've never been a high-flying, great team, nor should that be the expectation. But if they go 5-7 in his first season, and this is still a problem throughout the year,
even if it's not a problem, it'll be perceived as a problem, though, Drew. Even if it's not a problem, it'll be perceived as a problem.
Yeah, I totally agree. And people are saying, yes, look, in the end, you can be blinded by love in a way, and maybe that's the case with Bill Belichick. But
I never saw it coming.
But again, I think there's a case for that. But if you're North Carolina, look, I know that Bill Belichick is in charge of everything, but ultimately we can fire Bill if we want to fire Bill. It doesn't matter what he says. They can fire Bill Belichick if they want to. And as soon as it gets to be a really big problem where it's a distraction and it makes their brand look bad, then you move on just because it's time to move on. Not because you hate Bill Belichick. I mean, you hired him in the first place, but because it's turning into a problem.
That whole interview surprised me, to be honest with you. We haven't really talked about it, but man.
I mean, that was about the book, and then it ended up turning into the.
I thought it'd be his rules and his rules only.
I hate that this is what we have. Like, this is news. This is what we're talking about. We're not talking about arguably the greatest coach in the history of the National Football League. I know there are those that, he wouldn't have won without Brady. Okay, fine. the guy still has 8 Super Bowl rings, 2 as an assistant, and 6 as a head coach. He's the winningest coach Super Bowl-wise in the history of the league.
He won a playoff game in Cleveland.
And he's going to college football for the first time in his career. He's never, not even as an assistant, never in his 50-plus years of coaching has he coached college football before. And how does he handle that? How does he work with the transfer portal and NIL? And how does he build a great football team with this outstanding football mind he has? No, we're talking about his 24-year-old girlfriend being banned from the practice facility. That's what we're having to talk about.
Which is not going to go over well with the head coach. He's
what is
a real
this
problem.
Doing it's to this man's legacy heads. Is unbelievable.
He's going to be butting heads with that school board out there and everything else. This is what it's going to happen.
Someone said take the under on North Carolina's win total. FanDuel has him at 7.5 right now. Excuse me.
At this rate, does he even get to September to coach football?
Oh, yeah, I would.
I can see him storming off and being done.
I would say yes. I would be surprised still amidst all of this if he was gone by September. I think he'll at least get through this first season. I think North Carolina dug their heels in so much with this. They made the decision to go after. They knew it was a risky hire anyway, just given the fact that he had never been a head coach in college before. I think they'll let him do a year. And if it's a wasted year and it sucks, then hey, you know what?
It depends. If he can't do what he wants to do, I'm very curious.
Yeah, I'm not saying that UNC would move on from him. I'm saying he might potentially move on from North Carolina with all this crap that's going on.
You can't tell me what to do. That's what he's going to say.
So people are saying she's not banned. North Carolina actually is allowing her the facilities. That's always been the case. But again, if it gets to, whether the report is fully true on whether she's banned or not, isn't necessarily the entirety of any of our points, I don't think. It's becoming such a distraction where if we're talking about this more come September and October, guys, when we are having football games and this is still a problem and they're losing, even if she's not banned, it's still going to be a big problem because she's a part of the business and the ins and outs. You can tell that she's got more control over this situation, it seems like, than what any other...
I think that CBS interview kind of did him in because it showed her power.
Like, Miss Terry was a big factor in all of the things at Alabama, but she wasn't helping run things in the organization. You know, she was
still
cool.
Nick.
She was cool with all the players. Like, it was Nick Saban's deal still. It feels like we've gone a little bit beyond that, at least, with North Carolina and with Bill Belichick.
Come up next, like Jaden Daniels, but this is crazy, plus college football. Getting a commission, which excites Drew Nixon, and I'm very interested as well. We'll talk about that next.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.